Genesis House, FirstNet, built with AT&T, and the Friends in Recovery podcast are proud to bring you Answering the Call, the First Responders podcast. Join your hosts,
Podfather, Jersey Ed,
and Noontime with Skylar New,
as they address the real issues of first responders' health and wellness, from physical and mental health to relationships and work-life balance. Answering the Call, the First Responders podcast, is available on Facebook, Podbean, iTunes, and YouTube, as well as iHeartRadio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, here are your friends in recovery answering the call.
Hey everybody, welcome to Answering the Call, the First Responders podcast, sponsored by FirstNet, built by AT&T. I'm the Podfather, Mike Miles. I'm here with Jersey Ed and Noontime with Skylar Noon. How's everybody doing?
Doing pretty good.
Pretty good, nice. Podfather. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Staying busy.
Staying busy. You look busy over there, Podfather.
Been a busy week. Very
you
busy
got kind
week.
Of that sexy look going on with your shirt opened up. And
I know. I'm a sex symbol.
That's what they call him, the sex symbol of Lowell PD.
They're loving me in the nursing home, Jeff.
Arlene's going to get you later.
Can't wait to get me in there.
That's right. Arlene can't wait to get you in there so she can spend all your money.
Poor Arlene. She's out doing a little shopping. Her birthday was last week, so she got a lot of gift cards.
Nice. Aww. Good,
she loves that paper store, you know. So I don't know if you have any of those down there, paper stores.
What do you mean?
A card store. It's a card store, and they sell all kinds of
Hallmark shit. Hallmark. Store.
Yeah.
Love I love them stores too. I'm right with her.
See if we can get them to sponsor us.
Yeah, exactly. The Hallmark of first responders. Yeah,
we can do a Hallmark podcast.
So we couldn't curse. We couldn't. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Hallmark.
Welcome to Hallmark.
Where's all the puppies at? There should be puppies in there.
Dim the lights.
Yeah, dim the lights.
Dim the lights.
Hey, look, but my background, if you're watching on
YouTube. Yeah, it looks like a busy street going on up there.
But it looks like a Hallmark movie, doesn't it?
Like a table, right?
Yeah, I know.
Well, in the background behind you, like people walking around and cars going by. And
yeah, look at that, huh?
Welcome to the Hallmark podcast.
I am Ed. I'm Lover Ed. How's it going?
Lover Ed. Right. having an affair with my sister-in-law.
That's right. You apparently do not watch Hallmark.
That's a Lifetime one, right?
Oh, Lifetime.
Lifetime is the affair.
Yeah, I get them confused.
Before we get into our, I'm going to give you a whole Hallmark scenario. Take 2 seconds.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, guy in somewhere in North Dakota, handyman. Building a cabin. Girl comes in for the weekend.
Right.
Okay. Falls in love. They cross paths a couple of times. She needs her doorknob fixed, and he fixes it. They're married.
Yep. She needs a kidney.
Yes, exactly. That's a Hallmark movie.
A kidney.
He hates her children.
I love you guys.
That's Lifetime.
Hate is Lifetime. Love is Hallmark.
Those Lifetime movies kill me.
Everyone's a
murderer, and they kill people like it's nothing. You know.
I know.
Having martinis. You know, there's a body behind the couch.
Right.
So, is this what you first responders talk about behind the scenes when the doors are shut and the lights are?
You got to get rid of all that stress.
If you don't laugh, you cry.
That's right.
It's called morbid humor.
You know? Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Morbid humor.
Exactly.
I hear nurses do that a lot too.
I bet they do. God bless the nurses, the stuff they see. And they don't even have weapons to protect themselves. You know?
That's true.
No, for real.
That's true. Hey, on a serious note, guys, first of all, if you want to keep our conversation going and recommend some good Hallmark movies or Lifetime movies, you can call us at 617-379-1163. Or help at friendsandrecoverypodcast.com is our email address. Send us a note, say hello. If there's a topic you want us to talk about, or if you want to be a guest on a show, that's the two ways of getting hold of us. 617-379-1163 or help at friendsandrecoverypodcast. Real quick.
You're giving out every, Yeah, why don't you give out the cop line while you're doing the same numbers?
The cop line is it's help. The copline.org. That's 800 cop line, and that helps everybody. You know, as far as if you're suicidal or not thinking straight, anxious, depressed, right, anxious, right. You have a drug or alcohol problem. 1-800 copline or copline.org. That is right. The real deal, guys. Go back a couple of shows and look for Stephanie Samuels and copline. You'll understand what we're talking about.
But one
thing I want to talk to you guys about, Podfather, before we start on our topic, is Beyond the Oath. And we were just talking about this earlier today, guys. We started a new meeting. It's called Beyond the Oath. And it's for all first responders, corrections officers, veterans of war, police officers, EMS, fire, whoever, nurses, everybody we're getting involved in. It's Thursday night at 8 p.m., Sky?
Yes.
Thursday night at 8 p.m. If you go to genesishouse.net and go to the communities, and you'll see the badge meeting in there. It's called the Beyond the Oath. It is exclusively for first responders and first responders only, guys. And you're probably going to have to identify yourself somehow. You don't have to turn your camera on, but you're probably going to have to identify yourself as a first responder, just so we can keep it safe for the first responders in the rooms. Right. And if you want more information, again, genesishouse.net, and go to the communities page. And this is a meeting on mental health. It's a 12-step meeting. That's going to help the first responders. I'll give you the Zoom ID password also. So Zoom ID is 846-5778-5723. And all lowercase password is badge. So that's the number to get on. 846-5778-5723. And the password is badge, all lower cases. Please get on there, support the meeting, get yourself some support. And it's called Beyond the Oath, and it's brought to you by Friends in Recovery and Answering the Call podcast. Back to you,
Podfather. Is it first responder runs that meeting and everything, like even the person, the host?
Yeah. Podfather, you want to tell us about the first responder who's running it? You know him well.
Mike M. He's a firefighter. 13 years, I believe. Longer than that. He's been a firefighter for over 20 years, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he's a friend of Bill Wilson's. He's been sober for quite a while now. I think 18 months, coming up on 18 months.
Yep.
Good friend of ours. He's been on one of our podcasts.
Two.
That's right. Two podcasts.
FIR from the car, baby.
Yep. And he's a guy that's really into the program, from day one. First meeting he went to, he's hit the ground running. He hasn't done anything but help out. And he's real sincere, good guy, very trustworthy.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. This guy is definitely a solid guy.
Right.
And we had to find the right person to do it. And and Michael is definitely one of the ones that are gonna take. Right. And there's more to come. There's more meetings to come. We'll keep you guys posted on all that. Right. And also, don't forget, it's not just about drinking and drugs, mental health, family issues, whatever you might be going through. Get on that meeting Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Go to genesishouse.net. Go to the communities page and you'll find it. Scroll through all that and you'll find it in there. So, so guys, what do you want to talk about today? No guests today. I like having guests, but I like not having guests also. What's your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, sometimes it's good to have. I mean, obviously, it's good to have guests. I got a nice email from a woman who watched the show we had with Dr. Feldman, Barry Feldman, and Friends in Recovery podcast. And, I haven't seen it yet. Our good friend Tom Fleming, who's also been on the podcast a couple times, he also contacted me today, I got an email Wednesday, and he contacted me today to talk about Barry Feldman and what a great job he did. Yeah. So, it was good. It really was. He, it was just, even from sitting here, just really absorbing everything he was saying. We spoke before we had the podcast and we spoke after the podcast, and just an amazing guy. And he's going through a lot himself, mm-hmm. very humble guy, mm-hmm. but his son-in-law is a hero. His name is Eric Emond, E-M-O-N-D. If you want to Google him, you'll see what I'm talking about. Unfortunately for Barry, he's a Gold Star recipient now, family member, because his son-in-law was killed on his seventh tour of duty. It's just amazing. But three little girls and a lovely wife, and you got to watch the podcast. It's just really it's just amazing. And he really didn't want to talk much about that. Like he was on to discuss how he could help people, how he has helped people, people in, you know, EMS, police, a lot of police.
Barry gave a lot back to this answering call community or just the first responders community. Right. He's just an amazing man. And I do have the pleasure of talking to him. Actually, him and I connect a lot. He's just a really good guy. So go back an episode and check out Dr. Barry Feldman here on Answering the Call. Yeah. I believe it was on. It was an exclusive interview that I think the Podfather did by himself, right, Mike?
Yeah. You guys were tied up. And then you go back even a few more episodes and you'll see Stephanie Samuels, and that's another great podcast. I watched that she's just amazing, and what she does in the community. You know, there are people out there, you know, we had talked earlier about talking about gun control, and you know, it's a hot topic. It's always been, especially when there's an incident where multiple people are killed by a crazed gunman. You know, it doesn't, unless it's an AK-47, they don't tell you what type of weapon it is. Very seldom. Yep. But, you know, personally, I'm a member of the NRA. I'm a staunch member. Mm-hmm. But I don't think everybody should be allowed to own an AK-47. If you're allowed to have a firearm, it doesn't mean you should have access to automatic weapons. That's just my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't want to upset anybody. That's just how I feel. And I've been I was a police officer for over 40 years. I was in the military for 3 years. I mean, I know guns. I own guns. But there's no need, for my personal opinion, for me to own an automatic weapon. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have an automatic handgun, but an AK-47, are you kidding me?
What would you need that for, Mike? What would you really need that for?
I don't know. Paranoid, schizophrenic thought process. See, this is where you know, they say people are conservative or liberal. Well, I'm like a middle of the road conservative. I don't believe in a lot of things, but I definitely don't think anyone should own an AK-47 unless you're on a SWAT team or you're in the service, or you are going to be called on where you're going to need to go into a situation to protect yourself and others with an AK-47.
Yeah.
To be Joe Schmo at home with one of those, it's like giving a little kid a BB gun. Eventually, he's going to want to shoot it. So you got to teach him how to shoot it, when to shoot it, where to shoot it.
Yeah.
Who's going to run around with an AK-47?
Well, where do you even legally shoot those guns, Mike? Anywhere?
That's what I mean. I mean, there are places, I'm sure. Maybe somewhere in Montana, you know.
Yeah, right. Out west, Idaho, North Carolina, somewhere south.
You know, and where the white elite meet to eat, you know. I don't see there's not going to be a lot of people of color running around, you know.
or even just the common blue-collar folk is, you know, not going to be, you know, that. It's an expensive weapon from what I'm hearing. I don't know. I am not a card-carrying NRA member. I support, you know, everybody should definitely have their rights to either
Second Amendment,
yeah, absolutely. Yep. Second Amendment, 100%. I have no interest in guns. I just, you know, just doesn't do nothing for me. But you know, that's our right, as our God given right as a country. We're able to definitely carry guns. But once it gets out of the realm of just protection, I mean, how much are you protecting an army, or are you protecting your home? I mean, you know, I mean, I just don't understand what that type of gun, like what you would do with it. I couldn't even imagine, let alone, you know, like, you know, just a regular gun, let alone, you know. And again, I am not a gun guy, as you guys can hear that.
Right.
But I do believe everybody out there has a right to protect themselves 100%, you know.
Mm-hmm. And, what do you think, Sky?
Well, you know what comes to mind is the Las Vegas shooting. Like, that's what I think of, is the country concert and how that guy had, you know, and that was really scary. I did a whole report on that for school. And you know, I think that there needs to be more education in the sense of, like, responsibility. You guys have to be, anybody who has a gun has to be responsible with it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I don't know how to be responsible with AK-47. Just sounds like, you know, destruction all over. But say it's not an AK-47, it's just a regular gun. I just think that there has to be a huge level of responsibility. Right. You know?
And I agree. And from my point of view, is when I retired, I always had a license to carry, LIC. I've always had one. Before I was a policeman, I got my license to carry a firearm because I used to go shooting. And then I became a policeman. I always kept it up. I didn't have to. I could have just gone with the departmental, you know, handgun. But and then when I retired, I just renewed mine for another 6 years. And my point is, I want to be able to protect people that I love. And if I come across a situation where I know somebody's going to hurt somebody with a firearm, I want to be able to jump into action. And believe me, I would. I'm a very good shot. I never shot anything below a 94 in all the years. I was in the Army. I know how to shoot. I'm a real gun guy. I love guns. But I just don't see anybody. The normal Joe on the street needs an AK-47. I just don't see it. And I'm sorry if I'm insulting people. I don't mean to. But if somebody wants to chime in and tell us, you know, why I'm wrong, or they disagree, go right ahead. You never convince me that I'm wrong, first of all, because I just think it's a weapon of mass destruction, and there's just no need. There are SWAT teams, police departments, yes, 100%. You know, there are bad people out there that have those weapons, and you can't go up against them with a 9mm. You have to have fight fire with fire, but
you do. Yeah, but if you're some, like you said, some Joe Schmo sitting at home trying to, you know, just, you know, but here's the other guy thing. And, you know, we're probably gonna get emails about this. I'm a gun collector, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like collecting coins or collecting baseball cards. People want to have that in their collection. I get it. I understand it. But I think it's something deeper. Mental health. And I think
I agree.
Like an obsession with it, or
I mean, say you have it. It's a macho thing. You know, and again, where do you go? Where do you go to practice? I live less than a mile from a private rod and gun club. I never hear any shooting. I mean, I don't know how or why, but I never do. And I've gone there to shoot, but I've never heard automatic weapons being fired from me. I've been living there 34 years. So I don't know where these people are, but it just amazes me when I see these young kids and they're in court and they find out the mother bought them this weapon. You know, why the hell in God's green earth would you buy your kid a weapon like that? I just don't get it.
I know. And we can go down case by case of, you know, from Sandy Hook to, I forgot the mother in, it Massachusetts?
Right. That's why I think
Sandy Hook's the one I'm talking about.
The mother bought the one in Sandy Hook. But then Las Vegas, all these mall shootings are usually that type of gun. Right. But we're going to take a quick break here. But when we get back, I want to talk about the mental health piece of all this.
Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer. Well, we'll get into it when we come back about the mental health piece of things.
Yep. Answering the Call, the First Responders Podcast, sponsored by FirstNet, built by AT&T. We'll be right back.
You're first. First to respond. First to put others' lives before your own. And in an emergency, you need a network that puts you first, that connects you to technology, to each other, and to other agencies. Built with and for first responders. FirstNet. The only congressionally authorized wireless network for first responders. Because putting you first is our job.
Since 1992, Genesis House has been helping real people heal from addiction on their private recovery campus in beautiful Palm Beach County, Florida. Their family-owned program is accredited by the Joint Commission and offers detox and dual diagnosis treatment in a comfortable and confidential setting. At Genesis House, they focus on treating the underlying causes of addiction. Their comprehensive approach includes psychiatric care, individual and small group therapy, trauma healing techniques, and holistic care including yoga, massage, and animal-assisted therapy. After treatment, their clients enjoy the lifelong support of a nationwide network of Genesis House alumni. Call Genesis House today at 1-800-737-0933 to speak with someone who understands. Visit them on the web at www.genesishouse.net. It's time to start your journey to a long and successful recovery.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Answering the Call, the First Responders Podcast, sponsored by FirstNet, built by AT&T. I am the Podfather here with my good friends, cohorts, Jersey Ed and Noontime with Skylar Noon.
What's up, everybody?
Everybody's there. We're all here.
Yes, so before
we went to break, we were talking about the, gun laws and you know, just everything that's going on with guns and, the Second Amendment, all the concerns. And, it seems like every time there's a shooting, it comes up. It's in the paper for 2 or 3 days, then it goes away, mm-hmm. and it comes back, then it goes away. You know, it's just it's a political football, and it's just sickening. But
Well, Podfather, I'm like you, we were talking before the break, gun control. I think gun control would be controlled through mental health, through taking, and I know a lot of people aren't going to like this, but taking a test or getting your mental health checked, because not only is it dangerous to, and a dear friend of ours, Brandon, who was on this podcast, he ended up committing suicide, and the poor guy's not here with us anymore because he said he had a gun. Right. He was an officer, but if we have some mental health checks or something along those lines, like, don't you think that would be a better system than saying you shouldn't own that, you shouldn't own this, you can't own a gun,
right?
Is that
well? Right now, when you fill out an application for a LTC, a license to carry a firearm, or for a license for a hunting weapon, they ask you several questions, and a couple of them, one of them is, have you ever been treated for, or actually, I don't want to say incarcerated, but have you ever been hospitalized for mental health concerns or issues, and or substance abuse, alcohol or drug abuse, mm-hmm. Do they follow it up? If you say no, I don't know, and I don't know how they would follow it up, because with confidentiality being what it is, I mean, I don't know how anyone could even find out. So do they go on your word? Because there's no doubt in my mind, that young kid from, let's just use Sandy Hook as an example.
Yeah.
That kid was out of his friggin' tree. He was bonkers. Yeah. And his mother was crazier than he was.
Yeah.
And to purchase weapons like that for her son. And I don't know. And there was just a recent one where a guy goes into where he works at a UPS, and he just away left and right, and it's just the secretary. I mean, people that are just working 40 hours a week, and they, all of a sudden the victim and the families have to put up with this. I wonder what they think about gun control.
Absolutely. And you're right. Like, what if we were again, Sky?
I was just gonna say, and like that's why I think with the education it's huge. I don't know how to do it or what, but I feel like there's a level that we have to be like learning. And I recently saw Governor Murphy in New Jersey, he was saying something about passing like a bill to have money to educate schools and, gun shooting, rescue, the drills, like at schools and stuff. Cause that's the kind of stuff, you're right, that's scary, like at Sandy Hook, but you're right. It'll be in the paper a few days and then it just disappears. But that's why if we're educated on, it's the only way we can really keep working at it,
Every year when my son was younger, not every year, but several years, I would take him to the battle of in Lexington, the Patriots Day, the shot heard around the world, the cradle of freedom. It happened right there in Lexington. The Brits were marching, and they came upon all these Minutemen, these farmers, and, they confronted them, and there was so many killed. I mean, all the original houses are still there, not all, but a lot of them. The Buckman Tavern's there, okay. Where they were meeting, and where Paul Revere, set off on his journey to warn everyone that the Brits were coming. And then they battled several miles down the road at the Bridge of Concord in Lexington. Mm-hmm. But it was such an impressive, it, it, I mean, everybody's dressed. You got the Brits in the red coats, and then you got the Minutemen and a couple of my friends. Yeah, it was. It's a great thing, but it's a history lesson. And they use muskets and everything, you know, real muskets. But my point is, you know, that's an education. That's showing them what history is. It seems like now people want to get rid of our history. We're a horrible nation because we had, it's my opinion, because we had slavery. Well, most countries had slavery. We were one of the first countries to abolish slavery. 600,000 people died, you know, in the Civil War to help get rid of slavery and make America a better place.
Yeah.
But irregardless, there's a generation now that they just want to know what they know. They don't care about history. They think everything is a lie, whatever. But the Second Amendment, we should have an opportunity to defend ourselves. And I'm all for that, 100%. But I'm just against these automatic weapons, bazookas, grenade launches. I mean, you know, there's just no need of a regular person.
Listen, I seen on even just what show is it? One of those porn star shows. They were buying like a tank. I get it. He's selling it, but what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with a tank? They were shooting shit off too. I was like,
I know. I saw it.
I get it. You know, you're a collector. I understand that. But let's take a deeper dive into this, if you guys don't mind. I think the AKs and all that stuff are crazy to have. I understand all that. And a lot of these crazy guys just go off the handle and shoot schools up and malls and shows. But what about the scumbag drug dealer on the street with an illegal handgun? What about the person who's not protecting themselves, but they're protecting their drugs and their dope and they're shooting at cops? Right. They shouldn't have this gun. They stole it from, they killed the cop, grabbed their gun, killed the cop with his own gun. And now that gun's out on the street. How do we stop that? I think that's where we should start with gun control. Right. Not the fucking everyday guy that you know, like you said, you have your license to carry and
that apply for it.
Yeah,
and apply actually took the steps to apply for it.
I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
I think long-term incarceration. Massachusetts is one of the first states that had a mandatory 1 year in jail sentence. And we have a good friend, you've met him, from Two Guys, Dwayne, I won't say his last name, who actually was caught up in that at a young age, 1 year incarceration for possession of a handgun. No ifs, ands, or buts. You were mandatory 1 year in jail, period. Of course, we're in such a woke generation now that, you know, where everybody, you get these lawyers that come in and they can argue this and get them out and that's it. But I think incarceration is the only way to stop gun violence. Long-term, guaranteed 10 years, you know, whatever, how many days 10 years is, 365 times 10, you do it right to the day. That's it. So, you know, when you're walking out of the house with that gun, if you get caught with it, 50 states, you're going to go to jail for 10 years in a day. That's it. Yeah. No questions, no deals made, no good time, nothing. That, to me, is a good way to that'd be a good place to start.
A solid consequence for everybody.
Solid consequence.
Right. Like just standard across the board.
Right.
If we're talking about having Ed,
like the collectors, that's great and all, but like, what about the kid that lives next door to the collector?
Right.
Like, you know, like that's the, you know, so of course it's okay, but we just got to think about everybody.
Right. I've had guns. Go ahead.
No. And that's, and you're talking about the illegal gun you're talking about.
Right. Illegal. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I had a gun stolen. I had a .38 stolen out of my gym bag several years ago. Thank goodness it had a gun lock on it. And the situation was the gun was in a locked vehicle inside a bag, a gym bag, with a gun lock on it. The kid who stole it got my keys. I didn't know he had my keys. I knew immediately when I got in my vehicle, because I always checked. That's how I am. I checked and it was gone. And I went back in, and next thing you know, he wouldn't admit it, but we finally determined he was the one who took it. The gun was never retrieved. The investigation showed that I wasn't at fault, even though, you know, the gun was taken. It was in a locked vehicle. The gun had a lock on it. I was fortunate that the kid who stole it had taken pictures of it, and it had the gun lock on it. Oh, so good. There was no questions asked whether I had it locked or not secured. It was secured. It was in a, you know, it was as secured as it should be. But it taught me a very valuable lesson, you know. And believe me, to this day, every time I read about anybody being shot in and around this area or guns being recovered, I always think, is that my gun? Is that my gun? You know, and it was horrible. I guarantee you, I had many sleepless nights over that. Luckily, nothing yet. Someone said it was thrown in the river. There's all these different theories, but believe
me, you can't be 100% positive. And that's a scary thought, man. It's, you know, you're doing everything you can. And again, here we go. It's drug dealers, or, you know, that gun wasn't sold to the little old lady down the street wanting to, you know, to protect herself from, you know, whatever. It was sold probably to a drug dealer, would be my guess. And again, no, I don't know, but, you know.
Yeah, there's doubts. It went to some bad people. There's definite, you know.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing, Podfather. What if somebody just buys a gun or forgets to renew their license? I don't, you know, do you have to renew your license, or is there a time period or whatever?
Yeah.
What if you're going out hunting and you forget it, and then you get caught without a license? What, like, you know, I mean, you know,
well, if you don't, it's just like the driver's license. If you don't have it with you, the police can give you a citation in Massachusetts for a ticket for operating without a valid driver's license in possession, even though you have one. But most cops would run your license, say, okay, Ed, you don't have it with you. I'm not going to give you a ticket, but next time you should have your license with you.
Yeah.
And nowadays, with all the technology we have, if you were stopped 2 days later for the same charge, they're going to see it. When they punch your license number in, it's going to say, Ed, you were just stopped 2 days ago in, you know, Trenton, New Jersey, and you didn't have it, your license then. And not here we are 2 days later. Here's a ticket, you know. It's the same thing with guns, you know. If you don't renew your license, it's going to show up. And it's up to every chief in every city and town in Massachusetts now. They have the final say whether you get a gun or not.
Yeah.
Which I think
the chief
is great.
Does. Oh, the chief
the
does.
Chief.
That's awesome.
Chief of police. Wow. That's right. Okay. So there's no politics to be played. Okay. And if a chief of police feels that he doesn't want you to have it, you have an opportunity to appeal it.
Okay.
All right. And then you go in front of a judge, and the judge can overrule it. He can change the mind. But most judges would say, hey, if this chief of police is saying no, I don't want to take responsibility. This guy must be a screwball if the chief's saying no to him, you know, whether he has a record or not. So I think that's one good thing. At least every chief of police that I've ever known, you know, they got to that position by being a cop and working in the streets and knowing everything there was to know about police.
And that's actually, you know, I'm going to pose a question here to our listeners, guys. I want to know, in your state, wherever you're listening to, listening from, is your state just like Massachusetts? Does the chief in your state or in your town or county, whatever, have the last say in what you're doing? Just out of curiosity, it's not going to go anywhere. I just want to know what your policy is, your gun laws policy is in your state that you come from. Send us an email at help@friendsinrecoverypodcast.com and just let us know, and I'll, you know, Podfather and I will go over it all.
Is there any part of like gun laws that is uniform across every state, or no?
Well, that's a good question, Scott. I imagine there's got to be some variables that would be consistent throughout the country. I just don't know that for. That's a good question. I'm going to look that up tonight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you only really need to know your own state policy, really.
If you're traveling,
right? I do know now that as a retired cop, I do know that if I want to, I can get a license to carry nationwide. I can get a special license to carry nationwide, and to get that, there's certain hoops I have to jump through every year. You know, I have a house in Maine. My in-laws have a family house in Maine, and I do bring my weapons with me when I go away. I have them very secure. I secure all my weapons before I go away, but I take one with me and it's secured. You know, I don't have that particular documentation saying that I can travel nationwide with it, but I think it's a New England thing, as far as Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, you know, Rhode Island. It's a New England thing. And to me, it's worth the risk if you know, God forbid something ever happens. I just always want to be prepared because, you know, there's nothing worse than going to a situation where there is somebody with a gun and not being able to do anything, especially if you're an A-type personality who has the mindset to do something, to act. And believe me, I'm not a hero by no means, but I just know my
myself.
Right. And I would not, and I would not walk away. I wouldn't. I know me. Give me a club. Give me something. I'm doing something.
Yeah, we need you. You were trained to save us with that same mentality. Right. We're not even going to knock that because that's how you save our lives.
That's right. And it's sad that, you know, these cops are being shot at a record rate. And, you know, we don't see it on the news. It's just, hey, so what? Who cares? You know, the way the police are being treated nowadays to me is just, it's horrible. And you know what? The country's going to pay for it because they can't fill the quota to hire new cops.
Nope.
There are cops retiring at breakneck speed. They're leaving in droves. Mm-hmm. Every city, every town, every major metropolis. All you're going to do is Google it. You'll see.
Oh, yeah. And the problem with that is, I know this is another subject, but as we're speaking to, I know we only got a couple minutes left here, but the problem with that is we're going to start lowering the standards. So people like the Podfather who had to hit these high standards are now going to, we're going to drop them down. And I'm not saying that there's, you know, people, you know, but we need people to be physically, mentally, and you know, kind of up there in the standards, not, you know, somebody who's going to.
Well, I'll give you an example. The city of Boston just voted this past week, or maybe the week prior, not to let police officers use pepper spray. Now, keep in mind, pepper spray is just what we call it. It's pepper.
Yeah.
It's cayenne pepper with an accelerant and with an oil base that will make it stay on your face.
Okay.
It doesn't kill anybody. It certainly feels like you might want to die for the first 5 minutes because I've been sprayed directly in the face twice.
God.
But the good news is it's better than using a weapon. You know, they want to take away the tasers and take away the pepper spray. What are you doing? You're just leaving a cop one thing to use.
The gun.
Yeah. The gun. And this is what everyone's concerned about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Idiotic. These woke politicians in the city of Boston.
Yeah.
They got their heads so far up their asses. They have no idea what they're doing. They're just creating more problem, more havoc for themselves and for this. Yeah. The citizens of the city of Boston.
The problem right now is everybody's trying to appease everybody right now. So let's do whatever it takes to keep everybody happy and quiet. Right. They're not thinking about the long run. Even gun control, but police reform. Like, so what, you want to take guns away from, the next step is taking guns away from the cops. And what are you going to have? You're going to, you know, you're going to have police officers that are can't do anything. I mean, what do you do?
You know, I read the New York Post every day. I think it's a great newspaper as far as I'm concerned. You know, just my opinion. I know it can be political, but I just like it because of the sports section. It's phenomenal. And I mean, I read the other ones too, the Boston ones.
He likes reading about the Yankees, guys.
Right now they're in last place.
I know.
But if I was a parent, of a African-American child, I'd be concerned. And I would tell my son or daughter, listen, when the police stop you, I would have them being hypervigilant and maybe even scared. I don't mean to be that way, only because of the media. I was a cop 35 years. I never once stopped a car with anybody. It didn't matter what color. I was stopping the car for what the car did, who was driving the car. I didn't care. But I can see when it's a white cop killing a black kid or a Spanish kid, the media comes swooping in and they make it into something that is not. Maybe sometimes it is, but not as much as they want to say. A cop gets killed, who cares? They don't even talk about it on the news anymore. It's awful.
The media
owns a lot of people a lot of apologies, I believe.
For their behavior. It's tough out there now, and I don't care what side of the alley you're on. It's a tough situation because the long run, it's going to hurt us all. Really, is all this cop reform and all this stuff, it's going to hurt us in the long run. Right now, you might be getting what you want, but in the long run, just be careful of it all. So,
You should talk about the the Mike M's badge meeting again. Maybe.
Oh yeah, yeah. Let's talk about that before we go. Yeah. So Mike M is doing a meeting called Beyond the Oath. It's a Friends in Recovery 12-step meeting, and it's going to be every Thursday night at 8:00, that's Eastern time. And it is a closed meeting of support for first responders and first responders only. Right. It's called Beyond the Oath. And it's basically, It's about a group that helps you. Yeah, it helps with the helps about the oath on yourself. You know, we as a first responder, you guys take an oath to help everybody else, but as first responders, you have to take an oath to help yourself also, and so you can protect us beyond the oath. And it is run by a firefighter in recovery, and he is just a fabulous guy. We had on a couple of shows. If you go to genesishouse.net and go to communities and search through communities, you'll see online meetings and you'll get everything there. But if you want the ID number right now, I'll give it to you. You guys can jot this down. And this is for first responders only, guys. 846. This is for Zoom. 846-5778-5723. And the password is all lowercase badge, B-A-D-G-E, badge. And if you need more information on that, call me at 617-379-1163, and I'll help you through that. But, you know, starting Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So, right. Yeah.
And I just want to give a shout out to Mike C.
Oh, my gosh, I wanted to do the same thing.
Because I've been meaning to do it for the last 3 weeks. Mike C. was in my office with a couple of his alumni. I actually have a picture of them. So there was Mike C. There was then there was Chris C. Mm-hmm. And also Pat S. So I saw them all Wednesday. Mike C. and Chris, I get confused. Mike C. and the other one. That's awful, right? Chris C. Were passing each other. So we all ended up outside talking. I got a photo of them. I'll tell you, these guys are top notch, great guys. And we're even talking about getting the three of them together with me. We might be doing every other week a group meeting, you know, here in the office.
Cool.
So.
Oh, good. It's funny. I wanted to give him a shout out because he sends me morning meditations in the morning.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, every time he's done it, I've almost like bawled because it's been exactly what I needed to hear. Stuff.
How about the emoji?
How does he know me?
His emoji looks just like him too, doesn't it?
I love him.
God. Yeah, I know. Well, if you talk to him later, if you communicate with him via text later, tell him that we gave him a shout out.
Okay, we'll do. Yeah,
absolutely. Good. Well, guys, a great show, Podfather. We covered a lot here. I'm sure we'll get some emails about this on both sides.
Oh, yeah,
things,
both
and it's
sides,
okay.
Yeah.
We welcome both sides. Yeah, we'll answer.
We don't know everything.
We don't claim to. Yeah, and if you want
to
come on the show and be a guest either side, we'll bring you on and we'll talk to you about it. Yeah, because we don't know everything. So
Just our opinions, and that's it. What more can you say? You know, we're just trying to help out. That's all the reason we're here, right?
Absolutely. Podfather. Thank you so much.
Great show. Yep. Jersey Ed, noontime. It's just been wonderful. This has been great. Great to see you guys. excuse me, answering the call, the First Responders Podcast, sponsored by FirstNet, built by AT&T. Stay safe,
everybody.
That concludes this episode of Answering the Call, the First Responders Podcast. Thanks to Genesis House, FirstNet, built with AT&T. For supporting those on the path to recovery and keeping this valuable resource free for all our friends in recovery. Follow us on Facebook for past shows and updates, and enjoy free access to twice daily support meetings. Brought to you by Genesis House and the Friends in Recovery. If you can't get enough of Mike, the Podfather, Jersey Ed, and Skyler, you can catch them on Friends in Recovery, the Addiction Recovery Podcast. Available on Facebook, Podbean, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and GenesisHouse.net.